once again, huge big thank you to Richard, already spoken three times today. And Richard did do say that it is a difficult subject. It's not easy to talk about money in the church. And I can tell you that if you happen to be the incumbent who receives a stipend, it is even harder to talk about it. I was not yet ordained. I was in Preston, based in a church, and that church name was also St. Mary's. And I remember even the name of the vicar, but I will not mention the name. But the church was raising some funds for some project, and one Sunday it was family service, and the vicar got up to explain, so to encourage the congregation to give. And after all that explanation, he had that handheld mic, and he went to the young people and asked them, "Now you tell me why we should give." And one boy raised his hand and said, "To give you a pay rise, vicar." So you can see that what I meant, that it is difficult to talk about money, because to talk about money, talking about money, an incumbent, it seems almost an appeal for a pay rise. Well, I don't get salary, as Richard mentioned, that it is a stipend, and I hope you do understand what that means, that it is not a salary, it is a stipend. Second reason for the difficulty is that when we hear some of the news of some tele-evangelists and so on, and it just becomes a bit hard, that is this really the right thing to give to the church? But some of the facts about those tele-evangelists may be true, some may not be true. And the third reason that it is hard to speak, and especially in our denomination, about the finances is because it is often perceived that the Church of England is rich. Why do the church need money? They are so rich. Well, Church of England rich? Yes and no. Yes, if you count all the buildings and so on, yes, phenomenal amount of money it would be, but that money is as good as it is in the house you have. You can sell it, you can use it, you can go on a world cruise and enjoy it, but when you come back, where are you going to live? And so is with the church. You can sell the properties, where are you going to worship? You can sell the rectories, where you are going to put your ministers. So, but today by day to run the church, that a church almost every different diocese do struggle. So yes, difficult subject, but the reality is that the subject needs to be brought to your attention. And in this church, it is after 3 years that Richard has spoken. And as Richard mentioned, it is really to remind the local church of their responsibility. It is also reason that those who are responsible for the church to function, that to show that they have got concern and worries. And Richard, whom we have given this task as a church to look after the accounts, he needs to look at it and need to tell you that where we are, and if the trend continues, where the church could end up. As for me, of course, I do not need to even talk about money. Richard mentioned, and I remember this, when David was church warden, David Arweda, and he ever came about the finances, and he would say, "Well, yes, it is true that we can stop giving, because the reality is when you have that income in the post, it is diocese's responsibility to pay the stipend, but when NAPO will go, then what will we do? We won't get one." Hence, it needs to be not only for today, but for the days to come to be spoken. But let's now a little bit focus on the Bible, that why should we give. And I would like to start with this question, and that is that if I do give my time, does that exclude me out from giving? Because I give my time, why should I be giving? And when I say me, it doesn't mean Napo, any of us. I give my time, why should I be giving? If churches start looking that way, then there would be hardly anybody eligible to give, because all the functions, or most of the functions of the churches, they operate voluntarily. People give their time. Can you imagine the impact the ministry of this church has, that if it was only me, Becky, and Lynn, and Charlotte, if we were doing that, how limited it would be? Because so many give time, that's why this church functions. As for me, that I earlier, 8 o'clock, said that I left my secular world to serve the Lord as thanksgiving. And I do work for the Lord. I don't have that way fixed hours, 37 or so. I work day and night. But as for me, giving is still my worship. It's part of my worship. Napo John's part of worship is to give, and give sacrificially. Because if you know that I give, that's my principle, that which is just that, well, this little bit change, it won't hurt if I give. To me, that's not giving. Giving should be that I do feel, and I'm talking of personal experience, that yes, it does hurt in accounts. That is, to me, giving. Second, let's now come to that, why should we be giving? First of all, I do that, and I encourage everybody to do, because God commanded us to give. For instance, Exodus chapter 23, chapter 34, God says, no one is to appear before me empty-handed. And second is to show our thankfulness to God. And look at our today's psalm, and I'm sorry, we actually have been looking for the psalm, but today, of course, I'm not going to do the justice to the psalm, because as today we are talking about the giving, but even to then, look at the psalm. And I'm trying to say that to give is to show our thankfulness to God. And verse 2 says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time on and forevermore. Jerusalem, when was taken as a capital city, one of the reasons, the greatest reason it was, that it was surrounded by the hills. Today it may not mean anything in defense, but then it was a great, great, a positive, that the city is surrounded by the mountains, or protected by the mountains. And to me, mountains, you look at mountains, they only do not provide the protection, they are a sign of dignity, they are a sign of beauty. And what about us, the church? Hasn't God surrounded us in his protection? You know that we give to the governments the taxes because we are protected by the governments. We give to the governments because they provide us this dignity, that we are a dignified nation. But imagine the dignity the Lord gives us. Forgiven, already on this side of life, know that we are co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. The third reason to give, because the Bible says that giving does delight the heart of the Lord, and it invites his blessings. But holding back from God invites the opposite of the blessings. Haggai chapter 1 verses 4 to 9, Zechariah chapter 5 verses 1 to 4, and Malachi chapter 3 verses 8 to 9. God holds it and last and within it also that God invites us to give and test Him, His faithfulness. We thank already, great is thy faithfulness. Next, giving also touches other lives. And it is not any self-praise, it is not self-praise of my colleagues, but what we do as a church to the wider community, believe you me, and I'm just only focusing on this one church, is phenomenal. And when we reach out to people in their moments of need, in their moments of joys, in their moments of tragedy, it does touch the heart of God too. Last on this one, giving is to be the cross-bearing function of the church. Lord Jesus Christ said to the church, go and preach the good news of His kingdom in all the world. And the Bible says in Joel chapter 2 verse 32 that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But here comes the cross. Paul in his epistle or letter to Romans wrote, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Romans chapter 10, verses 14, 15. And as Richard mentioned, that giving in our terms, what we give, for instance, to the diocese, it is not only for the church, it is for a huge, big, wide mission. And that is part of cross-bearing for the church. Then perhaps our next question should be that, well, how much one should give? In a sense, Richard has already explained what he explained is the biblical principle or the new covenant principle. Under the old covenant, the giving was the tithing. And there are many churches, I come from the churchmanship, where tithing is the principle. Then there was that year of release. Every seventh year, people were to give release, any kind of debt and so on, Deuteronomy chapter 15. Then there was the year of Jubilee that released on the 50th year all the debts wiped out. But in the New Testament or the New Covenant, we are not bound by any such legalism. And the principle is laid in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Each man, and that of course includes women too, should give what he or she has decided in his or her to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because the Lord loves the one who gives with a delightful heart. But does that then mean that, well, that it is a freedom, I can give whatever, I can just, you know, that when the plate comes around, I can check my pocket and I will see that if there is any coin, and I can put that, after all the Bible says that give whatever you can, but give it a cheerful heart, I can give only 50p, of course the Lord can bless the 50p also, but within that principle, the Bible also says that it is to be given generously. God showed His generosity to us, and we are to respond with generosity. Proverbs chapter 22 says, a generous man will himself be blessed. When we are generous, God is generous to us. And finally, just let me sum up to say what is a right way of giving and what is a wrong way of giving. The right giving is that, as just mentioned, that we give what we pledge ourselves to give. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 5. Give with a cheerful heart. give in the freedom of Christ. But the wrong way of giving is that when we give that God will double his money. I had one young lad once upon a time that he heard me preach and he just got so excited to give, he just whatever pocket money he put there, but before too long he came crying to me that now I've been giving and giving in hope that the Lord will double my money and I haven't got even back what I gave. But that is not what we give for. We don't look it. Yes, personal experience is that Lord bless us, bless beyond our imagination, but it should not be attached to that. Well, I'm putting 50p, hopefully tomorrow it will, the return will be a half. No, that is a wrong giving. The other wrong giving is to give it so people may be impressed. None of us will be impressed because we all should be part of that will be given to the Lord. Third wrong way of giving is to give first to evaluate that we have got 3-4 preachers here. Are their sermons good enough? Or perhaps to look at the rector and say that, well, only if the rector was handsome, I would give. No, that's the wrong way of giving. We give it to the Lord. Not that how good are Napo sermon. If they are not very good and you like better sermon, either you should be praying for me that the Lord will speak to me, or you should be praying that the Lord will get rid of me so the Lord will plant somebody else who could preach better sermon. Or how good is sermon is Becky's, or how good is Lynn's? No, we give in the freedom of Christ without evaluating that what will be the return. Return together with me. You will see, you will know when we are in our Father's kingdom. Amen. Ugh.